This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. No, it isn't. It's Friday today. I haven't said that in so long. Oh, maybe I should just start over. No, I will not start over. There are no edits. Well, sometimes there are, but most of the time there aren't. Anyways, it is Friday today. Yesterday was July the 4th, and so the client I work for, his offices were closed, and so I went ahead and took the day off, and since I am saving up for my 25th wedding anniversary, I came in today to do a little work, and then I left a little early because I had to license my trailer. It's a very weird thing. I and my buddy, who was my business partner for years and years, I just recently bought out his half of the land that we bought together, and so, you know, there was stuff that came with that, rental house and a tractor and a trailer, and I've referred to all of those things as our stuff for so long that it's just so weird for me to refer to it as my stuff. It's just weird. I told him the other day we got together for breakfast while we were working out some of the last few remaining pieces of paperwork, and I told him, I said, man, this is like getting a divorce. Except we're still very good friends, you know? There's no problem or anything. It's just too many details. I can't imagine what it's like to go through a divorce, and then I remembered I've been divorced, but I was kind of out of the loop on that one, you know? Because my first wife kind of handled all the paperwork and all that stuff on it, and I just went with flow, as it were. So, but yeah, lots of details. Lots and lots of details. There is kind of a funny story about this today. on Wednesday, I did think about the podcast today, and I thought, oh, I could talk about this, or I could talk about that, and I'll get some notes together, and oh, it's the 4th tomorrow, so no point in me getting my notes together tonight. And in fact, I did have a good reason that I didn't get my notes together on Wednesday night, because my son-in-law, who is the youth and associate pastor or administrative pastor or something, I don't know what his exact title is, at Praise Assembly, was kind of overseeing the little fireworks show that Praise Assembly put on. And so my wife and I, you know, wanted to go to that. So we went ahead and headed in for that and rode in with our daughter and grandkids. And so that was always a lot of fun. And it was. The fireworks were fun. And Clara was so excited about the fireworks. She just thought that was great. She's 3 now, so this has been the first year where she's really kind of got all the cognitive stuff going, and so she started talking about what they looked like. And so one was, I don't know, butterfly, and one was this, and whoops, sorry, just hit the recorder. And I think Lynette said that one was, or my daughter said that one went off, and she said, oh, it's like a potato. Yeah, so that's the wonder of a child's brain. You never know what connections they're going to make, and I think that's the first time I've ever heard fireworks connected with potatoes. So, anyways, so we did that Wednesday night. And then the plan was that Thursday night I would spend a little time and I would go ahead and get the podcast ready. Did a little writing on Thursday. Went down, played some games with the kids on Thursday, and Alan's sister was in town with her husband and their children, and so we went down and visited with them and played some games with them, and a good time was had by all. It was fun. Had lunch with them, and then we came back home, and I did a little bit of writing, and Lynette did a little work. And then later that evening, Alan had a little bonfire going, so we went out. Lynette made some s'mores and yada, yada, yada. And I promptly came home, and we hadn't actually had supper yet, so we got supper and watched Doctor Who. I completely forgot about making any notes. I woke up this morning and Jesus went, ping, podcast. I went, oh, yeah. So, thankfully, that ping meant I actually picked up the recorder, which was the good thing. But I am noteless, so I'm just going to ramble for a while. The writing seems to be going well for the new book. I actually cleared quite a few words this last week. This last week was my real first opportunity, we will say, to get some good writing done. In the last couple of weeks, there's been one thing or another, including going to memorial services and having new guests in the house and all that sort of thing. But this last week, I was pretty clear. Oh, we also got, you know, carpets cleaned, and so there were a lot of interruptions and things. But this last week, I was ready to write. And so I had decided that what I really wanted to do was get caught up somewhat from the previous weeks, because I had been able to clock 3,500, 4,000 words, but not 5,000, and that's really my goal. So I was down by, I think, about 2,500 words. And so I decided, okay, let's see if we can get 5,000 words done. Well, 7,500 words done this time. And so I did. I got it taken care of. But what's been interesting is I was talking to my son-in-law about this yesterday. It seems like every book that I've worked on since I decided to loop back around, start finishing up the series, from Grumpy Old Prophets Part 2 and Part 3 forward, every book that I've worked on, the theme of that book has been something that has directly impacted my life in how I approach things. And I think I've mentioned this before. And so it's been really good, and I tell people I get so much out of writing, and I learn so much out of life by writing, that I would do it whether anyone really read it or not. Having beta readers, putting out production versions, is good for me because it gives me a deadline. And when I start talking up books, and I know I've got 40 people who are sitting out there who are interested in reading one of the books, it gives me a little impetus to keep moving, keep writing, come up with something. By the same token, it also, if I let the flesh, could introduce some stress and anxiety. Every time I finish a book and it's good, the first thing the flesh will do will say, well, yeah, but the next one's not going to be any good. Which, that is just typical flesh. It lets you have 5 seconds worth of satisfaction, and then it starts working on you to make you dissatisfied again. Typical flesh. So I've been writing along, and I'm pretty happy with how the second book in the Farforth Fables series came out, Amanda and the Hare-Footed Flame, which was about uncertainty, and I felt like I addressed the issues of uncertainty well in that book. So now I'm on this new one, the third and final in the Farforth Fables series, which is Amanda and the Cog-Shifting Imp. And this one is about control. And I've just been kind of writing and thinking, where is this going? What are we... How am I going to fold this? Where... How... Just been lots and lots and lots of questions. Lots of discomfort because I haven't had a really clear vision as to where this is supposed to be going. And then I realized that I was writing a book about control. And I think I had mentioned several weeks ago that I was struggling with the book, and then I had the thought, well, you don't really know what control is. And I thought, oh, that's right, I don't. And so then I started thinking about that, and then I got the ideas of how I define control, and I got that all, and then I was able to write some more. Now, I'm sort of back in that spot again where I'm not exactly sure that I'm happy with the direction that the quote-unquote control is taking. And at the same time, I realize I'm writing a book about control, and I'm trying to control the process as I write this book. And one of the premises of this book is that whatever you seek to control will eventually control you if you're not careful. So, by that standard, I should loosen the reins and not try to control this story that tightly. I should just let go and just let this take me for a ride and just see where we're going to end up. This is very interesting. I mean, I remember feeling this way somewhat when I was working on Grumpy Old Prophets Part 2 and Part 3. Because I had all, that was on the life of Christ. It's called Wanting and Waiting. I had all the scriptures lined out that I was going to use, but I wasn't feeling it. You know, I couldn't. And then there came one scene that I was writing this scene, and Moses in that book was used a phrase, and I looked at that phrase and thought, oh, that's interesting. And then I got to the next chapter, and suddenly I realized I'm going to use that phrase. And that's what I'm going to call the women who have traveled with Christ. I'm going to call them the emptied. And then it was like the heavens opened up. I could see. The fog lifted, whatever analogy you want to use. And I just haven't hit that spot with this book yet. And I'm wondering if I may not hit it until I get it all done and then go back in for a second pass. I don't know. It's very interesting. Certainly the old saying is that to the man with the hammer, all the world is a nail. And I recognize that since I'm focused on control at this point, it just makes sense that I am sensitized to that issue as I'm writing this book. That's pretty easy. But it's interesting that I'm struggling as much as I am with this, and I'm specifically struggling to try to get control of this plot, which I don't feel like I have yet. So we'll see. we'll see. Gonna do some writing tomorrow, if all goes well. Gonna do some writing on Sunday. We'll see how everything happens. Anyways, this week, had some nice conversations with friends. Well, actually, I wanted to talk a little bit more about control. Because control is a really interesting thing in relationships. And how it works out in parents and children, it works out in spouses with their spouses. We had some friends in. I have a couple of kids, nice kids, really nice kids. One of their children is in college, the other is in high school. Boy and a girl, boys in high school. And it didn't take very long for the young man to find our Xbox and turn it on and start playing some games. That's to be expected. And through most of the time they stayed with us, there was like no friction whatsoever. I mean, they're a good family. So they were getting ready to leave on a Friday, and everybody was supposed to be getting ready, and they were going to take off, and the son just kept playing the video game and kept playing the video game and kept playing the video game. And the mom said, okay, it's time to go, and he kept playing the video game. She finally said, look, I'm not kidding, it's time to go, let's go. So he finally got up and went and took a shower. But control, see, that's control. And for the spouse that wishes their spouse would be X, whatever X is, you can substitute X for anything you want. Control. And it's a very interesting thing. Because obviously, all of us, every single one of us, has things in our lives that we could be better at. We have things in our lives that we could be helped by someone else's input. And so the question for me becomes, as a husband, as a father, as a friend, when is it right for me to try to assert some control over a situation? Or am I really just flat out libertarian? You know, you do whatever you want there, buddy. And I've been in situations where there could really be some benefit of having more control under certain behaviors. But and while there was a point in my life when I tried to be somewhat aggressive in implementing that control from the outside, one of the things that writing Grumpy Old Prophets showed me is that Jesus Christ already understands and has experienced all of our experiences. And he loves us still. And if the experiences of a person, whoever they are, whatever choices they make in their life, have already been covered by Christ, have already been embraced by Christ, then who am I to tell people they need to live their lives differently. Certainly, if someone asked me for my opinion, I'm going to give them my opinion. But I really feel like at this point that my task in life is not necessarily to go around and ordering and telling people how they should live, but simply to love people and to live the best life in the best moment I can right now. And then just be a good friend, a good father, a good grandfather, a good husband to the people who are around me. But there's always in the back of my mind this little question that's eating away. That if I know that there are certain behaviors which I consider to be destructive behaviors, especially in the people that I love, am I really doing the right thing? Simply loving. And I'm about ready. I made this decision several years ago, and I'm not willing to go back on it. I think I'm about ready to emphatically say yes to the following statement, that it is better just to love. That loving, true loving, allows you the opportunity to speak into a person's life. And without that opportunity, you can talk all day long and it won't make any difference. So, because of that, I think the focus, as it's turning out, the focus has been this way coming about in the book. I think the focus really of this book is going to be that there is really no point in trying to control people you have relationships with. Now, I still haven't worked this out in Parent and Child, because I do think when you are young, when your children are young, I do think it's important to be... I'm rolling down the window because my son-in-law and daughter are going to pick up a couch. And I'm getting my mail, too, at the same time. They're going to pick up a couch, and it appears to be a smaller couch. And so I was just going to find out from them if they needed any help, but I don't see them coming just yet. Maybe they are. Don't see them. Anyways, okay, so I'll finish this up real quick. I think with children when they're little that it's more important to be autocratic. That it's more important to give them strict guidelines and things. Because at that point, they're not functioning well enough to make their decisions. But I also think there comes a point when the child reaches whatever age that it's better to work on it with relationship. And I'm looking to see the fans here. So what do you know? I'm almost done. I will be done shortly. You want me to come with you? You sure? Sure. Okay, because I'm happy to come. Did you measure? Gonna fit. Okay, see ya. So I think at this point that it's better to be loving and kind and generous. See, this is the thing about 1 Corinthians 13. Love never fails, always hopes, always trusts, always believes. I'm backing into my garage. So I'm really thinking this is better. And I'm thinking that these struggles that I'm having with sometimes trying to figure out if I'm doing the right thing, that's just flesh. That in fact, the way to proceed here in life is just to love. And that loving, that kindness, that gentleness will reap benefits that cannot be reaped in any other way. But it'll be interesting to see how this all works out. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.